Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to NHN Radio, where horses have a voice, brought to you by Natural Horse Network. This is DC, your host, and tonight I welcome back animal communicator Tim Link. Tim is also the author of Wagging Tails. We'll be taking your calls and questions about your pets. You can call in at 347-326-9161. And if you do have a question, just press 1 and I'll bring you on the air. Or you can join us in the chat room and ask your questions there. So without any further ado, let's get started. Welcome back, Tim.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it. It's been a little while.
It's been a long time since we've chatted. Well, a couple months. 3 months, I think.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, the summer has definitely flown by, and here we are at fall already, and getting everybody. I went to the store today and not only saw the Halloween items out, but also all the Christmas items are starting to appear. And
oh, my gosh.
I know.
That's too early for that.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's a little bit much. I love the time of year, but let's wait a little bit longer, at least in October, maybe first November, before we start considering Christmas time.
I agree. I actually saw a commercial the other day for something Christmas, and I thought, that's insane.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. But that's okay. So that's good. So we got to get ready for that cold time coming about, and I know some places around the country are starting to see some coolness, and here in Atlanta, it's we've had a whole bunch of rain over the past couple of weeks, and now that's cooled everything down. So we're getting, starting to see some of the leaves fall and the acorns fall off the tree, and we realize that, it's that time of year to start thinking about how to prepare our animals for the upcoming cold spells.
Well, it's funny because here in Colorado we have such drastic change. The other day it was 85. Today it's in the 60s. And I have socks on, so it's like up and down. But the leaves are changing. It's gorgeous. I just love fall.
Yeah, so, I do too. You know, it's one of those times, to me, it's just, it's sort of a, I don't know, some people get a little depressed as they know winter's around the corner, but for me, it's just, I like the smells and the changing of the colors and sort of the newness that's going to appear right around the corner. And of course, it's a great time to break out the sweatshirts and the jeans and get ready for that, too.
Yeah, and I start wanting all things pumpkin. I start craving anything pumpkin.
That's right. Pumpkin pie, pumpkin latte, anything you want to get.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
great.
So
let's talk about, since nobody's calling in yet or in the chat room, and hopefully we'll get to everybody tonight, but folks, if you don't show up, we're not going to be able to help you with your animal. So let's talk about preparing animals for winter. I think we did this before, but this is a good time to bring it up again.
Absolutely. You know, it's that time of year, and it's for all animals, definitely our horses out there. We've got to make sure that we've got the proper straw and nutrients in place. So we want to make sure that we're stockpiled with not only hay, but good straw to bed them down with. We want to make sure that we're checking them out for any other ailments, whether it would be, things in the hoof or other areas, to make sure we get that solved and get that healed before the wintertime hits, because that's going to cause a lot more issues with the animals, with the horses. And I think it's just a good time to check all of your, check the barn, check everything around it, make sure that there's no leaks and everything is solid and, the gates are prepared and everything's ready to go, because obviously you don't want to wait until the middle of winter to start worrying about a loose fence or a gate or a stall being unstable, because I don't think any of us want to go chasing our horses through the snow and the muck in the winter time.
Good point. Another good thing is to check your blankets now. Bring them out and shake those spiders out. Those ready in case you need to use them. I know there's a lot of controversy over using blankets, and it's probably more important to make sure your horses are just healthy. But might as well get them ready now in case you do need them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to make sure you do that. And you make sure that the food that you're feeding them, maybe add some additional supplements, some things that are going to help them out in the winter time. They're going to put on probably a little bit more bulk and definitely a little bit more fur on their coats. But, you know, it is important to make sure that they're going to get the right nutrients to get them through those cold spells that are just going to be around the corner. And, you know, some of those, especially when you're talking about, you know, as you just mentioned in the Colorado area where you're having such drastic shifts in weather, that potentially can cause some real issues with our horses, because they can be very warm and be used to that, and then all of a sudden we get a nice cold spell and they could get a chill or some of these things. So, you know, my thought on it is, you know, I would want the blankets nearby. I would want everything nearby just to add some extra protection for them.
I think it makes us feel secure too when we know we've got those blankets for those cold nights.
Exactly.
And one thing I wanted to bring up that seems to be a big issue with a lot of people is they don't realize that cats and dogs aren't the same as horses. I see a lot of people that think it's okay to leave a dog outside during the winter, and they might put a blanket in their doghouse and think that's going to keep them warm, but a blanket will actually freeze. So if your dog's going to be outside, put straw in their doghouse.
Absolutely. It's very economical to do that, make sure it's fresh and stays dry, and you're absolutely right. I'll add some added insulation and keep it much, much warmer in there. And so we want to make sure everything's prepared. So as you're out there, especially, you know, if you own the farm or the stables, you want to make sure that everything's prepared. And, you know, with most of us, like you had mentioned, you know, we have also had dogs. We also have cats, and some of them are barn cats. But we still want to make sure that they've got plenty of places to find proper shelter and be able to get in and get warm and get the proper food that they need. So, yeah, do all that now while it's fun and you're getting ready for all those hay rides and all those fall festivals. Go ahead and make sure everything's mended and in place and ready to go, so when that first real cold spell hits, we don't have to worry about it. We can stay in by the fire.
Well, if anybody that signed up is listening, we can take your calls at any time or join us in the chat room. We had quite a few people sign up, so anytime now.
Yeah, we'd love to be able to answer your questions. It's a great opportunity to do that. And we've been, you know, for me, it's been a very busy time as well. So I'll take this opportunity, if you don't mind, to sort of promote a little bit about the business Wagging Tails and our new book that we've been on tour with, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. It's right now we've just about completed our book tour. So we've been out to places like we've been to Colorado and visited the Denver area, and been to New York City and Dallas. And we've been to Phoenix, been to San Diego, been up to Columbus, Ohio, and now we're heading up next week to Nashville, where we're going to be on quite a few television radio shows on Friday, next Friday, in the Nashville area, followed by a book speaking and signing event that I'll be doing at the Southern Festival of Books on Sunday the 11th at 1 o'clock on the main stage. So we'll be there talking about the book and talking about what I do, and I've got a whole hour to talk about it, so it's going to be a fun time for us, and I get to see beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. So it's obviously horse country around there as well.
Yeah, I've heard it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a real nice place. We've got quite a few fans and followers up there, and so we're excited about coming up to that area. But the book's doing fantastic. The book Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. It's available in all major bookstores as well as on your favorite online retailer, or you can go to my website at wagging-tails. That's T-A-L-E-S www.nhnradio.com, and you can order a customized book, one that is personally addressed to you or a friend or a family member, and I'll be glad to get that out to you so you can enjoy the book. And it's just been the comments and the accolades and the reviews and everything that we're getting from the book has all been very positive and very fantastic, so we appreciate that. And we're also attracting a lot of people that that are of younger folks. So we got the youth crowd as well as children that are their parents are getting the book and reading it to them, and or the kids are coming in with their own money to purchase the book, which is exciting.
And that's exciting. Great.
Yeah, it really excites me in the fact that, you know, we're now touching the youth, and the more that we can get our younger mm-hmm. adults and younger kids involved with animals and appreciating them and understanding them, then the better off the world's going to be, and the better our relationships are going to be between us and the animals. So we're excited about it. If you haven't had a chance to read the book or pick up the book out there, then check it out. It's Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail.
Yeah, I read the book. I loved it, and I gave it to my grandson. And it was really cool because it opened up some conversation about how you can talk to animals. It's amazing how receptive kids are. You know, they don't have those closed minds, so
exactly.
It's pretty cool.
That's right, and that's the biggest thing. And when you want to talk to the animals, that's the biggest thing that, you know, us adults have to overcome, is the fact that we put in that self-doubt, we question what we're really hearing, and it's hard for us to get to that level where we trust everything. And like
mm-hmm.
you said, with the kids, they don't have to worry about it. You know, they're open-minded, they're open-hearted, they're so pure that they connect with it and understand what the book's all about. And so it's exciting for me to be able to share that with them.
So you'd say overall it's pretty positive then, the reception you're getting?
Very positive. We've had very positive things, and you know, everybody can go to the website wagging-tails.com and learn a little bit more about the book and read some of the things on there. We've also got some new updated video clips and pictures on there. So we've been doing, as I mentioned, a lot of television shows and a lot of book festival appearances where I've been speaking about the book. So we put all those on the website, so everybody can check those out and see the latest videos and YouTube videos that we have out there. So I encourage you to check that out. And then we, of course, put out the free monthly newsletter that came out yesterday. You can still get a copy of that, and it'll be posted online as well. But the newsletter is a fantastic free newsletter that not only keeps you abreast on what's going on with me and Wagging Tails and the book Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, but also it's full of helpful hints, little tidbits, things that you need to know to have a better relationship and a better understanding of your pets. And so there's some wonderful things on there, and it's absolutely free. So I encourage people to go on there and sign up and check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check out, see if you've got some new stuff on there I haven't seen.
Yeah, we're always updating it, always posting something new on there, because it's there's a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of fun stuff that we're doing, and a lot of great people that we're meeting, a lot of animals that we're helping out. So it's definitely worth to keep abreast and, you know, get that free monthly newsletter, and that'll be your reminder to go on the website and check out, see what else is going on, and see what kind of things we got happening.
And I want to remind people that you also do help with lost animals.
Absolutely. We do quite a bit of work with lost animals. It's probably, lately it seems like I've been doing more lost animals than I've done just consultations to find out about their pets. So if you have an animal, it's a very, very trying situation, a very gut-wrenching situation when your pet leaves or gets stolen or decides to, you know, gets chased off by a predator. And, you know, that's where I can come in. That's where I can help. I can help help you locate your animal, hopefully bring them back to the house. If not, we can locate where they're at and find out what's going on with them. And we've had a great deal of success with that. The book talks about quite a few of those types of stories of animals we brought back home. And there's probably been quite a few that we've done over the past couple of months that we've had success in bringing them back home. So we're excited about that. So, yeah, if you you want to know more about your pet, want to know what they're thinking, how they're feeling, what's going on with them, solve a behavior problem, if you're wanting to find, you know, if your animal has wandered off or has become lost and you're desperately trying to find them, or, God forbid, you know, if you have an animal that is sick or injured and is, you know, that going through that transition process and you want to better understand what you can do to help them out and how to deal with that transition process, these are all the things that I can help out with, and you can find out more about that by going to wagging-tails.com.
Well, I'm still waiting for some of our people that signed up to call in, or so, you know, I really don't like to do this without people present. What do you think, Tim? Should we just go ahead and start with some of these, or
We can, but maybe give me an update on what's going on in your world. Tell me a little bit about NHN, what's happening there, what's happening with some of your horses and family. I know since last time we talked, you, I believe, relocated a little bit. So, yeah, tell me how that's all going.
Yeah, I actually moved into a place I used to live in about 6 years ago. It's funny. It just feels like home to me, but things have changed. In the respect that the person that owns the land decided that he doesn't really want horses on the property. He feels that horses bring flies, which brings spiders. But he's a city guy, so I'm working on that because the person, my neighbor, would really like to take in a couple of rescue mini burros and mini horses.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be a perfect project for me and her. So we're working on that. I'm focusing on it and picturing it and hoping he'll come around and realize that, you know, they're going to benefit, not take away from the property.
That's right. And if you live out in the country or near the country, you're going to get flies and spiders anyway. And spiders,
exactly.
They can all be dealt with, and spiders are actually a very good thing to have around, so that keeps away all the more serious pests that come around the house.
Exactly.
So spiders aren't necessarily a bad thing to have around. But
got a lot of feral cats living here. I think people drop them off daily, and it seems to be more each time I look outside. I feel bad for them, but I know that if I feed them, I'll just draw the raccoons here. So... and the raccoons will go after my chickens, so I don't do that.
Yeah, it's an endless cycle. But you know, with the feral cats, obviously, you know, we are seeing quite a few more of them around. I think across the country, I get more and more calls and people that said they've seen them. You know, and that obviously can all be solved. You know, just by simply spaying and neutering the animal will solve a lot of that overpopulation, and I know you and I have talked about that quite a bit in the past. And it's a pretty simple process. I mean, a lot of your local rescues and shelters will do that at a very minimal cost or a low cost. They have associations and partnerships with various veterinarians. And, you know, so I encourage people, if you see a feral cat, reach out to your local rescue group and see what they can do. A lot of them have feral cat plans where they can take care of it. They have traps that they can loan you. So, and it's pretty easy to trap one of the cats. Some of them are a little bit tricky, but the process is at least easy to do.
That's what I'm going to start doing, trapping them and having them neutered.
Yeah, it's the best thing to do. And then that way at least you know, at least they're not overpopulating, so you're not going to see even more feral cats running around. Secondly, their life expectancy is much greater if they have been spayed or neutered, so that will help out quite a bit. And, yeah, it's the right thing to do right now. It's hard to get the feral cats. Obviously, if they're true ferals, you obviously can't take them to a shelter or rescue group because they are used to the wild and trying to get them to rehabilitate unless they're very young or were former house cats to begin with. It's very hard to get them used to being being at the house, inside the house, and so the rescue groups will tend to shy away from that. But they do have, you know, funding and places you can go to assist you and make sure that that's getting taken care of.
Yeah, because they're pretty savvy. They know how to survive, but there's probably a lot of inbreeding because some of them have some neurological problems, and So I think getting them neutered is the best thing I can do for them.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a caller on the line, so shall we take our first call, Tim? Are you
sure.
ready?
I am ready.
Hello?
Caller 203, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Farah.
Hi, Farah. I'm glad you called in. Thank you.
I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Farah. How are you?
I'm good. Do you remember me?
I do. I do. It's been a long time, so that's good.
That is. Well, you haven't done a show in a while.
I know. I know. Shame on us. Shame on us. We'll have to be doing more of these shows so we can answer all the wonderful questions that everybody has about their beautiful babies.
Yeah.
So what's going on in your world?
Did you get the pictures I sent?
Yes, I did. Let me see which ones. DC may want to help me out with this one.
Far was the ones I sent you just this afternoon. She was the late bloomer. But so far, she's the only one that's shown up, so we're putting you first.
There we go. Okay, so we got Mercury here in Phoenix. And
I thought it was kind of, I didn't know if it was funny to send you a picture of a leg, but I did.
Well, let's take a look at some what's going on with Mercury's leg. Oh, goodness.
That's Mercury's leg.
You know, I don't. That's an interesting thing. How does it feel I'm not getting anything as far as pain is concerned. It looks at me. Obviously, the leg looks very swollen and inflamed. But what are you seeing as far as Mercury? I don't see any. You know, Mercury's not sharing any pain with me. It just seems like it's a nuisance, more of a bother, maybe a little tenderness, but you know, not. I wouldn't call it a painful thing.
Well, that's why I was curious because. It's one of those things where it's kind of in a bad area, and it potentially could be a bad thing. But I have quite a bit of experience, and it doesn't palpate tender, and he's not really limping on it per se. But it was in a place where I had very much concerns because it was, you know, where there's a lot of ligaments and flexors and things.
Right, right. Which this could, you know, just due to the size of it, it could be causing some pressure. But you know, I don't feel the pain, but it could be, you know, long term. I think it could be an issue as far as putting pressure on those ligaments and other things in the leg. Have you had this veterinarian take a look at it?
I hadn't yet, but I have an appointment in a couple of days. But I was more worried that it was something that needed to be rested or something, you know. And I took him out of being ridden and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's precautionary. Measure. I would definitely. I think you did the right thing there. Definitely letting, don't putting pressure on it because the sheer size of it could be causing, you know, could cause issues like you said in other areas of the leg. But it really feels like a lot of pressure. He's saying he didn't know. Mercury said he didn't know it was happening. So did it come on rapidly?
It really did. It was like I didn't see him for a day or two, and then it was there.
Yeah. And so he doesn't know how. I mean, he doesn't know how that happened either.
It looks huge in the picture.
Oh, it's just big.
Well, I'll tell you how it happened. He's a wing nut out in the pasture, and he was playing with his pony friend there, who was his chew toy, basically.
So he was roughhousing a little bit and did some twist. But you know, that's the funny thing about it. If he would have been, you know, his typical roughhousing. And chasing and twisting and all these wonderful things, you would have thought he would have some more pain in there. You'd have some, you know, some real pressure in that. And it just feels like pressure from just the sheer size of it, but not a painful thing. Not like even a, like, you know, if you and I experienced a twisting of an ankle or a knee, you know, we would have the swelling, but it would also be very painful, be tender to stand on and put pressure on and those things. And I'm not feeling it at all from him.
You know, I wondered if he, you know, they sometimes kick or the pony kicks, you know, the pony is small, so I wondered if the pony maybe kicked him directly. You know, that kind of injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it almost, it looks more like a contusion almost than an actual, like, sprain or something.
Okay. Well, he's not saying that. He's not. So I don't think he wants to get his pony friend in trouble. So if that was the case, he's not saying that at all. Make sure the pony knows what's going on, because he's going to miss his buddy. Is he still getting to socialize with him, but keeping it on the a little bit calmer, or is it something where you're keeping him Mercury out of off on his own?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I had not that I wanted to punish them, but I was concerned that they were still roughhousing, and if his leg was injured, that I really didn't think it was good for him to be wrestling with him like that.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, I don't think that they're going. You know, if they go to their normal pasture and do the things that they're used to, then yes, they're going to kick it up. They're going to do what they're always used to, even though Mercury's got this swelling in the leg. But I think it is important to keep them close by. Maybe keep them a little bit more in a controlled situation. Definitely explain to the pony what's going on and what he needs to do to help and why it's going to be okay. Because I think there's going to be some concerns. Because they do have a real, you're right, they do have a real close connection. So, and if he did anything to Mercury's leg, Mercury's not saying anything about it. So, he's being pretty coy about it. It feels more like he could have hit it against something. But he's
Well, it might not have been a kick, actually. I mean, the nature of it just looked like either he kicked a fence, or the pony kicked him, or something, like where he banged it into something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he did. I think he probably banged it into something. But yeah, that's just real. To me, it's still fascinating when connecting with him and then seeing the picture. To me, if I had something like that, I would be hobbling all over the place. Of course, I'm a guy. I'd probably be crying about it anyway. So. But, I don't see anything at this point that is causing serious concern, but I think you're on the right approach. Make sure the veterinarian's taking a look at it. Make sure there's no other underlying things that's happening. And definitely we want to get the swelling down in that so it doesn't cause any other ligament damage or anything else in the leg.
So you don't think that it's like a long-term thing?
I don't think so. I think it will go down over time. You may have to do, they may have to do, give you some medication or a wrap or something to sort of.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe a wrap or poultice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been, I actually was using DMSO on it and Ventramil and my sport injury thing.
Okay. I think all that would help. I think that's. So I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. I'd be really surprised if it was otherwise. Not. A lot of pain, just swelling, a little bit of discomfort, but nothing major that he's sharing with me on that. So yeah, just get it checked out. Keep doing what you're doing in the meantime, and I think and teach those teach them not to roughhouse so much.
Yeah, have you met Mercury?
Good luck with that.
Good luck. Oh goodness.
Yeah, the reason I had to put him where he is with the pony is so he could let some of the energy out.
Well, he'll definitely start to miss it, so make sure you're explaining to him as well, and I'll do the same, but explain to him what the situation is and what he needs to do about it and why it's going to be okay long term, because, yeah, if you're keeping him sort of grounded for a while, he's going to wonder what the heck's going on after a while, and he'll want to probably get a little bit upset about it.
Yeah, no, I actually I could ask a deep question, but not that I don't already know the answer, but I have just recently moved him to where he is, so he could have more room to run and a friend.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
I wondered if I suspect he's quite happy about that, but.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's very happy where he's at. So I think the move is a good thing for him, giving him more room, But like everything else, it gives more room to get into more trouble. So you're going to have to keep an eye on that.
He promptly injured himself as soon as I brought him.
There you go. You do that I see you now. I do all this for you, and look what you give me back in return.
Yeah. I was like, settle down out there. I know you're having a lot of fun and everything, but settle down.
Well, keep us posted on that, because I'll be real curious what the doctor says. But I think you're on the right path. I think you're doing the right things. And I think it was a little bit too much fun out in the pasture.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get an ultrasound on Tuesday, so I'll know just for peace of mind what's going on. And, you know, if they need to x-ray, they can do that too. But, you know,
so what's going on with Phoenix, Farah?
Well, Phoenix is a whole other can of worms. So she's another one that kind of is a little wily in the paddock. And they're both young, so they both, she's kind of flies around out there, but... I really couldn't tell you. Actually, she's more of a mystery with me because I don't see anything physically on her, and that's why I need your help, because all I can tell you is that she's having a physical issue, and I couldn't begin to tell you where or how where it might be. I don't think it's in the legs, but there's something going on, and so I really need your help on this.
Yeah, well, you know, it feels like it's in the lower back area. Has she been a little bit more lethargic lately? Has she been a little bit more timid or tentative about doing things?
You wouldn't know if you saw her in the pasture.
Okay.
You know, none of mine are known for being particularly quiet.
Okay, and so what symptoms is she showing you as far as what you think is physically wrong too with her? Because I'm feeling something around the lower back, sort of, I don't know if I'd say hips, but sort of in that back area.
Well, what's mystifying me is my senses is that it is high up in the body area, but that's why it's kind of mysterious. And same thing, I can't palpate anything particularly sore. She doesn't necessarily limp, you know, but where it manifests the most sadly is when she's cantering to the right on, you know, like a right-hand sort of path. And what's mysterious about it is, I mean, she's basically comfortable in three gates until you go to the right. And she doesn't limp in the trot. She doesn't limp in the canter to the left. But when you go to the right, she at the canter, it manifests somehow. And that's what's odd to me. You know, you'd think if it was something else, you know, she would show it in all the gates, you know.
Right.
So, but yes, I did have a sense it was higher up than in the legs.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I would check her lower back. Do you do any energy work?
I can, and I do, and I've actually been having, oddly enough, the chiropractor has been working on her.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think you're on the right path. It feels like it's from what I'm feeling here, it feels like it's on the back part, upper part of her body, back part near her, not quite her rear, not quite her hip, but somewhere around that upper area. I would, you know, do some energy work on that. You know, do a scan of her whole body, but do some energy work in that area. If you're doing any light massage or anything, that's one area I would focus on. And the chiropractic will definitely help out, I think, in this case.
Yes, and I even have an osteopath now coming.
Oh my goodness!
Fantastic. Sounds like I need to move there.
Well, actually, I was curious as to which one you thought might be better, the osteopath or the chiropractor.
Well, right now it feels like a back issue. So, I'm thinking something, it feels like it's skeletal, so I'm thinking the chiropractor may be a good route to go. That whatever, you know, areas you're adjusting, that there's, you know, some massage in that area, something of energy work to push out that anything that that became unblocked while the chiropractic was going on. But I think that would probably be I think all of it's good, but I think that would be the area I would focus on the most.
Well, my B part of that question is then I have been riding her very carefully because, you know, she showed some discomfort, but I guess, you know, I'm listening to my gut, and my gut was that I've been riding her almost in a physical therapy kind of way, where I'm using exercises under saddle to sort of strengthen what I think is sort of weak by my intuition. And I didn't know if that was, I mean, I don't get the sense that it's bothering her, but I don't know if I should actually be completely resting her or I
don't
should.
Think you would completely rest her. I think that if you completely rest her right now, I think that may even actually make it a little more stiff.
Right.
So I think, as always, go with your gut. And I think if you're riding her more in a therapy approach, a little bit monitoring her, giving her the energy while you're riding her, I think is a good thing. And you'll know. You'll be able to tell more, trust more of what you're feeling than what you're actually seeing. And I think that'll lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, that was nice. My sense was that I kind of was using little exercises and, you know, things that I knew that would sort of work that the area I felt was sort of, you know, needed to move, like you said.
Absolutely. So, yep, trust that gut feeling. It'll lead you in the right direction.
All right. Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome, Farrah. Good luck with everything. Keep us posted.
I will do. I'll keep an update on the NHN site there.
Okay, super.
Thanks, Farrah, for calling in, okay?
Okay, no problem.
And we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Tim, I did have one person that requested that we check on her animals, and she said she would try to show up, but she had a work issue and would not be able to come, possibly. So I told her we'd give it a try. So since we do seem to have some time, do you mind doing a couple of her animals?
Yeah, that's no problem.
Her name is Olga. I really want to encourage people to show up and be able to ask questions directly from Tim rather than us trying to guess. But just this one time we'll do it.
Yeah, we can definitely tell you what the animals are sharing with us.
Okay.
Like you said, DC, it's always good to have everybody because we love to talk to you about it. And sometimes the animals will bring up things that we need some clarification on. Otherwise, you know, I can give you my what I'm getting from the animals, and then hopefully you'll be able to sort it out from there.
Okay. So I'll give you a minute to find her pictures.
Okay, got them. It looks like we've got quite a few. We've got a Siberian Husky male named, what's his name, U-L-L-R?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how you say that.
Oh, got me on that one. And then we've got a Indy Chestnut Gelding, beautiful, and Obi the Gray Arabian, and Gorge, a.k.a. Kiva, 4-year-old. So maybe we can just go through a couple of these.
Okay.
See who's jumping out at us real quick. All right. Let's take a look at Indy, which is the Chestnut Gelding. Well, I'm immediately I'll go back and answer the questions, but let me tell you what I'm picking up on the horses right now. I'm immediately getting some pain here. It's actually quite tender, it feels like, in the middle part of the back.
And which one is that?
This is Indy. The horse. It feels really tender in this area, so I don't know if she's tweaked it recently or if it's an ongoing thing. It looks like it could be something that is some early stages of, I don't know if I call it arthritis or not, but there's definitely some blockage in there. So that's something you want to be careful of. Make sure that that's getting some extra attention in that area. Some of the questions she had is, does your new saddle and pad fit you and work for you? I don't. Right now, the saddle I think is causing some issues. I don't know if it's necessarily the new saddle or not, but definitely something in that area. So I would definitely check that back to make sure that she's able to handle a lot of riding right now. To be honest with you, the new saddle and pad I think will fit better once she feels a little bit better. Because right now, I'm not sure if she's. I think she's keeping up a very good front, but I think there's some issues there as well.
Okay.
And as far as the job's concerned, looks like she has lessons in endurance, pleasure horse, what would she like? You know, it seems like right now, though she's 6 years old, looks like she's 6 years old. Yeah, 6 years old. That's still obviously very, very young, but she has a very old soul, and it seems like she has a very calm soul. So I think the jobs that she would want to do, based on what she's sharing with me, is to be a more of a therapy type horse. The pleasure horse could be a good one, but make sure that people are make sure that people, that she's around people. I think she has a very healing and calming personality, and I think that's one of the things that she can bring to the table is keeping her around people, maybe even children, to get allow her to use her therapy capabilities, her healing capabilities to be able to help people out. So I think it's one of the things you want to look at. I think she seems to be happy, pretty content where she's at, so I don't know if she, I don't think she's really wanting to go anywhere. She's actually, one of the questions was, does she want a new home or a new person? And no, I mean, she was quite, Indy's quite surprised by that question. I would definitely let her know if you're planning on keeping her, I would definitely let her know that she's going to be there permanently and what you would like for her to do and help you out with and why it's going to be a good thing for you. A lot of static all of a sudden on the phone.
Yeah. That's bad.
That was a little bit better. That's interesting. Sorry about that. So, yeah, I think she's very happy where she's at. I think I would keep everything the same. If you go to make any changes, make sure you're talking to her, letting her know what the situation is. But right now she seems a little bit puzzled by even the question of wanting to know if she needs wants a new home or to be around a new person. So I think that's the key things with Indy. I would definitely, you know, watch that back area, watch that lower back area in particular. I don't know, like I said, if she's tweaked it recently or if it's something that is manifesting. I think it's probably, I hate to say it, I think it's the latter and not the former. So you want to make sure you get on top of that right away. But use her as a pleasure horse. Use her as a healing horse. I think she's going to be really good around people. So I would definitely take advantage of that.
That's interesting. Very good. Thank you, Tim.
Do we want to answer any more from Olga, or do we want to move on to someone else?
Well, nobody else has shown up, so, and I did tell Olga I'd try to get to hers first, so I think since no one else is here, let's go ahead and continue with her animals, see if any of them call out to you.
Okay.
And then if we have time, I have one more person.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's take a look at Obi, the Arabian, and Obi is Obi's gray Arabian, 16-year-old. Beautiful, beautiful horse.
Yeah, pretty horse.
So some of the questions is, does Obi need a new saddle? What job does Obi want, whether it's endurance or what kind of job that Obi wants to undertake? And does Obi need anything in the diet? How are your joints, need anything, et cetera. So obviously it's a good time to plug those supplements, I think. It's never too early to get them in, you know, involved in some things that have some glucosamine chondroitin in them, especially if you're riding her hard, which looks like that's the case. You know, she gets plenty of endurance, and that is what she likes to do. She likes to be out there. She likes to keep a high pace. She does like to Obi does like to be part of the mix, so definitely wants to be used in that fashion, so I definitely would keep her active as possible. But, you know, get those supplements in the diet is going to be a key thing to make sure those joints feel okay. She feels good right now. I'm not feeling anything different in her, and I'm getting a her, so I'm hoping I get that right. It's definitely a strong female connection, female energy there, so I think that's
funny. I had the feeling too. It was a female too. So
yeah.
And we could be wrong, but
could be. I think
we'll
that's
see,
what she's sharing with me. But no, it feels good. I mean, everything feels good to me. I don't see anything going on. Be real curious if you want to send an email back to us, Olga. I was curious if you wrote her today because she feels a little, I wouldn't say sore, but I do feel some things in the lower part of the leg into the hoof. So I'm real curious it's nothing serious or anything of this sort. I think it's just feels like they feel when they have a good hard ride. So I'm curious if you rode her today or not. If you did, then that would explain a whole lot there. If you didn't, then we do have a little bit of tiredness, a little bit of soreness in that lower part of the below the knee, I'd say, you know, near the ankle and down to the hoof. So you know, keep an eye on that. But it feels more like she's just had a real, real good day today. Other than that, I feel everything real good. Everything just feels good. She's happy with everything. Just keep her act. She's definitely going to be one that you want to you want to keep active, and she enjoys that. So I definitely would just keep that going on.
Very good. Do you want to do George?
Okay.
Let's see, George, a.k.a. Kiva.
Kiva, four-year-old chestnut Arabian.
I think George might be a gelding or a male horse. What do you think?
yeah, I do. I do, too.
Okay.
Okay, so similar questions we want to know. Okay, this is fun. This is very interesting. So George, a.k.a. Kiva, you know, the question was, does he need a new saddle? Does he need everything? Or needs new food, new supplements? What does he want? And the answer I got back very clearly was yes. Yes to all of that, by the way.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, so I asked about the saddle. I asked about the food. He showed me things like, you know, the hay, the... It looks more like Timothy's. It looks very green to me. So I'm not sure if it seems like maybe some new grass that he's eating. But yeah, I think everything. He's gonna be your boy that wants it all. So he'll want the oats. He'll want the hay. He'll want anything that you can get his way. I see he's showing me an apple. So I don't know if you give him apples on a regular basis, but he's showing me an apple. So yes, he would like everything new. And there's somebody there he's not getting along with too well. I don't know if that was, it's definitely another male. So I don't know if you have another male there or not, but definitely he's got some, he's saying he doesn't get along with somebody very well. So we need to talk to him about that, see if he can, come around a little bit more it's another dark horse. It may be Indy, but I'm not getting that. So I'm wondering if there's another horse maybe where you have him at. But definitely it seems like a male energy to me. But other than that, he loves everything. So if you want to give him a new saddle, a new pad, I think he'd love it. I think mixing up the food quite a bit and different types, adding some fresh, you know, vegetables and fruit in there, I think would be a good thing. He's going to love that. And he's not going to be your endurance guy. He's going to be the guy that he wants to be there with you. He wants to be part of everything, but he's not going to be a particular job is not going to interest him. He's going to be more interested in just having some fun. So I think I would use him, you know, have him there accordingly, because I think he's just there to have some good times and take advantage of all the wonderful stuff you want to give him. Other than that, he feels good. I don't see anything going on with him. He's not sharing anything as far as any pain or discomfort is concerned. The other horse, that's the only thing he's worrying about right now. He can more than take care of himself, though, so I don't think that's going to be the issue.
Well, very good. Let's see. We've got about 10 minutes left, so let's do ULLR. I am just not sure how you say that. And Olga, when you listen to this, maybe you can email us and tell us how you pronounce that.
Yeah, that's a new one on me. So this is Siberian Husky male. And let me get the picture up here real quick.
The picture's a little crooked.
Yeah, let's flip that around a little bit. Okay. Oh, sweet. Okay, so I'm getting it now. He said, where's the other one? The other one. So I'm wondering, Olga, send us a note back at some point, because I'm curious if you have another dog, if you had another dog. I don't see the dog around anymore. So I don't know if you had another dog that something happened to it or not, or maybe it's just right now at this present moment he's wanting to know where the other one is. So I'd be real curious to find out. I'm not seeing what type of dog it is, but I definitely see another dog around. And it seems like, from what he's telling me, it's a past thing. So I don't know if you've had one in the past or if he had a running mate. It seems like another is. Male. Another. I think it was a male dog. Seems a little bit confused right now. So I'm curious to find out what's really going on. Health wise, you know, everything seems to be okay there. I feel a little bit of. Little bit of itchiness around my eyes, So keep an eye on his eyes. It could be some allergies, could be some seasonal things going on. If there's any crustacean there, any drainage, you want to keep an eye on that. Keep it wiped out. Maybe a good idea when you have him out and about all the time, when he does come in or you get a chance, just even outside, take a cool, damp rag and wipe off his eyes down to his nose, down to his snout. Would be a good idea, but his eyes feel real itchy to me, so I'm wondering if there's, feels like some allergies going on right now. Yeah, those are real itchy, actually.
Wow, well, poor guy. Right. It's amazing how many animals have allergies.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I think, you know, part of our environment is obviously even out in the, you know, the country, it's
oh,
shifting
yeah.
quite a bit. And we're also seeing, you know, the foods will trigger a lot of allergies. I'm doing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, there's more and more animals I'm doing nowadays that have food allergens, and you know, a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing is if there's any change in the behavior or the coat or the physical makeup of the animal or how they're acting, then that's something you need to definitely get checked out. And there's allergy tests you can run, both for environmental and food allergens, which will tell you a lot about what you need to be doing for your pet. So he seems a little confused right now, so I would definitely keep him informed. He's wondering where this other dog is, so I'm real curious about that myself because I don't see the dog in the picture. And definitely keep an eye on the eyes as well. This is interesting. Okay, so I'm looking at question number 3 on her list. Are there problems for you in the house, dust, mold? Is the food good for you? Are you happy with Nikki? So I'm wondering if Nikki is the other dog. So, no problems with Nikki. Want to know where Nikki's at. So I'm wondering where Nikki's at myself. The food's okay. I think the allergens, some of this dust and mold, I think that could be house-based, but I'm getting more of it's outdoor-based. So maybe just some of the things he's picking up out, the dog's picking up outside. So I would definitely keep that in mind. And other than that, the question was, do you need Golden Sill to help? So, you know, this is interesting. Sorry about this. So I looked at the picture of the dog to find out what I was picking up, and then I went back and looked at her questions. And her questions have to deal with the dog has developed allergies. Are they on the right track of solving them? So
interesting, huh?
Yeah, that is really interesting because I did not even see these questions. You know, I've been going back and reading the questions that Olga has left for us. So that's very interesting. So the allergies are still there, very strong. I think some of the things you're doing are probably on the right track, but I don't think it's solving the whole problem. So I would definitely do an allergy test. That's the best thing I would suggest you do. Do an allergy test, get it checked out. If you don't already have a holistic veterinarian, find a holistic veterinarian because any veterinarian can run the allergy test and get you your results, and they'll get you a printout of what environmental and food allergens that the dog is allergic to. But the veterinarian, holistic veterinarian, will definitely help you on your way to determine what herbs and natural medications and foods and things of this sort that would be best for your dog. And so that would definitely be a route to go. But I think there's problems a little bit in the household, but mostly outside allergens. So best thing to do in the interim is make sure that every opportunity you can wipe, you get a clean, cool rag, wipe out those eyes, wipe off the nose, wipe off the feet, those type of things, and the mouth. Those are the areas going to collect most of your allergens and make sure that they're good and wiped down.
Very good. Well, we've already run out of time, so that was cool. That was really interesting. I'm glad we went ahead and did those for Olga, and there's a few other people that signed up, but we didn't get to you. So hopefully you can come back on our next show, which will be in December. Is that correct, Tim?
Were
we going to skip a month?
Yeah, I do believe so. So
okay.
We'll do this in December again. And send in your pictures. Set aside some time to talk to us. It's a great opportunity to be able to find out what's going on with your pets and to answer those questions for you. And if something comes up in the meantime and you need my assistance, I do private consultations, and I can do those remotely, just like we're doing over the radio tonight. So just go to the website, wagging-tails, that's TALES.com, and you can sign up for those free consultations, or sign up for those consultations. They're not free, but sign up for those consultations, and I'll be able to help you out between now and December.
But the show is free, and we thank you very much, Tim, for taking the time to do this.
My pleasure. I look forward to it, and we'll be talking to you again in December.
Wonderful. Thanks for talking with us, and have a good weekend, okay?
Okay, you too. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time. Until then, this is DC from Natural Horse Network. Goodbye.